from the Monday night group of NA in the South Hills area. All right, we're on.
Well, we got right into that, huh? I didn't get a chance to figure out what I was going to lie about.
I'm Ron Minetic. When John said, hey, Ron, he said, would you speak on recovering relapse? I said, what do I have to offer? He looked at me like, I first started coming around in NA in 1985. But I remember two of probably about 30 clean dates, because two of them only really mattered. And the first clean date I ever had was February 2nd of 89. Because I had substantial clean time after that, and then I relapsed, and my new clean date is December 4th, 2000. When I first started coming around, I heard a guy was speaking here last night, and he was talking about he just came around just to quit hurting. I came around because I was suicidal. And I heard somebody here at another meeting said they were using, they used because they didn't like the way they felt. I don't know if I used because I liked the way I felt. I think I used because I didn't want to feel, truthfully. And as a result of that, by staying clean for a while, I end up having a whole lot of feelings. And sometimes I don't like feeling now. Sometimes I think I'd rather use, but obviously I can't deal with the consequences no longer. And so when I first started coming around, you know, I went to meetings, but I didn't make any changes. You know, you guys told me that one thing you got to change, that's everything. I didn't want to do all that. I just wanted to just, you know, not feel the same way, or I didn't want to quit doing the things I wanted to quit doing. I came around up until my first real clean date because of that. And I say that I was coming around for about 4 years, and I'd get a month clean, I'd get a minute clean, I'd get a couple days clean, I'd come around. But the one thing I kept doing was I kept coming. And the result of that, I heard some things, and I seen some people. They say, attraction rather than promotion. I've seen people grow, but yeah, I wasn't growing myself. I've seen people change, and I wasn't changing myself. But I couldn't figure out that I couldn't do that one thing, and that was change everything. I kept hanging with the same people. I kept doing the same things, and I kept getting the same results. I'm a creature of habit, and it's real hard for me to break good or bad habits. And the proof lied in the pudding, because it took me 4 years to actually get a clean date. So in February 2nd of 89, it was my first clean date, and I held that clean date for almost 6 years. And in that 6 year period, the first 4 years, I was all about meetings, I was all about service work, I was all about sponsoring and being a good sponsee. I was all about going to meetings, but I wasn't working in these steps. I did the 1-2-3 shuffle for 3-4 years, and because obviously I'm sicker than you, because you don't know who I think I am, and I wasn't letting anybody know some of the sick shit that I'd done and it was done to me, and stuff that I thought about doing to people. Nobody could be like me. I was just worse, and I wasn't going to let anybody know that, so I wasn't going to do a 4-step. And, suggestions were made, look, either do it or die. And I'll die. Because what happened was, so I started getting a life when I got a clean date. And after about a year clean, I started this business. Because I always was a good hard worker. I was never a good thief. My dad had good work ethic, and I was a ball buster. And I mean, I went to work and get, whoever I worked for, I gave him a full 8. Sometimes I gave 9, got paid for 8, but I was a good worker. And that's one of my biggest assets. And, you know, this time around, when I started doing a 4-step, I started listing defects. And I had all these defects and all these you know, things bad, but the good part was like a couple things. One of them was like, I like the work, but so I started this business and on like a shoestring budget, and it ballooned. I don't know what happened, man. We're addicts and we make shit happen. And in like 89, like it started out like I had very little bit of money, and then like by 93 I was like loaded. But what happened with that, they thought about property prestige diverted from my primary purpose. Let me tell you what happened. I never had really a new car until then. And I never owned a house, and I never owned a boat, I never owned a cabin, I never owned rental property, I never had gold, I never had diamonds, I never had none of that. And because of Narcotics Anonymous and not picking up, I ended up having all that and more. And that's not to boast, but it's just to tell you what ended up happening because of all that. When you get a bunch of stuff, it takes a whole lot to hold on to that stuff. And when work diverts you from your primary purpose, and property does, then something has to lax. There wasn't enough time in the day to entertain the kids, entertain the old lady, go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, manage a business, and do life. So I had to cut something out. And because I wasn't using, why do I need NA meetings? Right? Logical, that's what I thought. What happened was, the changes that I wasn't making, and because I wasn't working that four step, and I started falling into old practices, and I've been with the same girl on and off, more on than off, for 25 years. I've got a 24-year-old son, I got a 15-year-old daughter, I got an 18-year-old daughter to another girl. But what happened was, I started cheating on my wife, and then I started cheating on my taxes. I was clean. I wasn't in recovery now, so quit going to meetings. I started cheating my employees. Then I started cheating my distributors. Then the guys I was subbing off, I started cheating them. And I was cheating my recovery. And so I had no foundation any longer, but I'm still clean. I'm abstinent. I'm going to a meeting here and there, mainly just to show you my face and, you know, show you my new car and tell you how good I was doing. And let me tell you how good I was doing. I ended up buying this beautiful home in Brentwood. I bought it. I put like I put a ton of money into it. And the outside looked unbelievable. I had landscapers planting. I had shit chucked in from other states. I don't even know what it was. You know, I had like these flyers that I never seen. I had none of that stuff before. I had like the white picket fence. I had like a generic dog. And, I had the new windows on the outside, new roof, painted the outside of the house, new porch and everything. But you could not live on the inside of the house. It was gutted. There was nothing on the inside. We lived in one room. And that's how I based my recovery. As long as I looked good on the outside and didn't let you in on the inside, it all looked good. And that's what I found out by picking up. What happened was, I walked in my office one day, and the IRS was there, criminal division with dollies. After shucking a job with them and cheating them, and them auditing me, they came with a truck, and they came and they took all my office because they knew what I was doing. 2 days later, I got a phone call. My father died unexpectedly. So, hey, listen, I used to use because it was Tuesday and it was raining out, so I had all the excuses in the world now to pick up. Went to my father's funeral. My brothers are all alcoholics. They belong in the fellowship. That's their business. But they allowed me. They didn't allow me. They okie-dokied it for me to, hey, daddy's dead. It's okay to have a beer. The next night was the holiday with a bundle of heroin, ounce of coke, and I'm off to the races. So I relapsed. But what I found out by coming back was my relapse happened when all them things became more important than recovery, the way I felt and the way I... See, as long as I looked good, I thought I felt good. And as long as I thought I felt good, I definitely looked good. But, you know, I know truly today I had to go through all that fucking garbage to get where I am today, and that sucks. And I see people in my life today, including my daughter who's in the program, who's struggling right now, and I see the pain that she has to go through, and it's like, you know, why can't I just tell them this is what's going to happen? I did it. I seen it happen before me, but the only way I learned from it was that I had to make the mistake. And that sucks. But that's what happened. And so, you know, I used to always believe an addict was somebody that shot heroin. And up until the point I relapsed, I really wasn't doing too much heroin. But then I found out that I'm definitely, I knew I was an addict, but now I'm shooting dope like my eyeballs. And I always saw an alcoholic was somebody that was homeless, lived under a bridge. Well, now I'm homeless because they came and took my house. They came and took the cars. They took the boat. They took the, you know, the everything. They took everything. I had nothing. My family, by this time, you know, I had taken a lot of what they didn't take, and I took it and sold it so I could do what I was doing. And as long as there was, like, eggs and milk in the refrigerator, we went, you know, it was cool. Hey, listen, in 6 months, I went from, and let me throw this in, too. For a while there, I thought I was better than. Because, see, I never had none of that shit. You know, I come in here with Kroger bags, and I left with Gucci bags, and I came back with Kroger bags. And during that period, you know, I judged some people, and obviously I was being judged, and I really didn't give a fuck, and that's probably why I picked up, too. But, so now I'm like at bare bottom again, and I remember my sister saying, I stopped power of attorney over her because I was selling everything, including whatever. What I use, I sell my shoes. That's what I do. It can't get any worse than that. So I signed a power of attorney over my sister, and she came to me at the Jefferson Hospital and says, and this is after about, I got a head full of NA, I got a heart full of NA, but I just can't come in there and, you know. There was a guy that just went in there, he was talking about giving a guy $20 he's never met in his entire life to get him some shit that he has no idea what it is and expects this guy to come back with it. All of a sudden we come into his room and we can't trust anybody. And I know it's my disease today. Because I'll tell you in a fucking heartbeat how I feel. I'll tell you in a heartbeat that I need help. So, my sister puts me on a plane to Ball Place. She says, you're going to this rehab. You're going to go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm thinking, yeah, that's where I got to go. I got off the plane in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The cab took me to the Salvation Army. I said, why the Salvation Army? She said, that's where you belong. And I could have went to Southside or something, but they wanted me to fuck out of their lives. So I sat down there for a couple months. I reflected on what happened, you know, and I started getting some clean time. I came back. I fucked up again because I was just too humiliated. I had nowhere to live. I had nothing. I remember always praying to God for a vet, and he gave me one, a Chevette. So I got this little Chevette. I was driving a 440 SEL Mercedes Benz. That's the truth. And I ended up driving a Chevette, and I was glad to have it. So this is where my focus went. This is what happened to me. It doesn't have to happen to you. So through this whole relapse, one thing I never did was give up hope. I knew that I could get this back if only I'd give myself a chance. I knew I had a choice. I always made the wrong one first thing in the morning. Instead of hitting my knees, I hit the phone. I called the dope man or I called somebody to get something. But one thing I didn't do was I kept coming. People kept telling me to keep coming. I kept coming. It might have been for the wrong reasons. It might have been the bum five. Might have been 20 if it was a good day. Might have been to see a newcomer that was struggling because I knew he could get it quicker than I could. But I kept coming. And I mean, I kept coming. I'd come and I'd nod. I'd come and I'd bum a dinner. I just kept coming. I had nowhere else to go. Hey, listen, I don't know what happens during all that time. Arrests, jail time again. Now, we're talking some years went by and I kept coming. I'd get a month. I'd get a year. I had a year. And see, the only two real clean days that I really want to focusing now is December 4th of 2000. I just,
know what? I just got sick and tired again of being sick and tired, and I just threw my hands up and said, hey, whatever the fuck you want to do, I'll do it. Just tell me, because I can't. I was very suicidal. And I'm ballless enough to take my own life. Most of us are. We talked about it because it's a crime to help. And I know for me it was. I don't want to fucking die. I mean, look at this. Come on. But it was tough. Let me tell you. You know, they keep coming back. Don't fucking leave. So now I got to climb this ladder. So I think. Because all my head, my disease is telling me, you know what? People are going to look at you differently because you had all that and you have nothing. Well, you know what? I came in with nothing. And this time around, I don't have nothing. I work real hard. I drive a dump truck. Okay? I've got my business back. It's much, much, much smaller. I'm not cheating anybody. I ain't not conning everybody. My employees get paid very well. They work hard. I work hard. I go to a lot of meetings. I'm running right now for an area position. I'm back involved in service. I just got put on a committee down in the club, a recovery club I hang out. I sponsor some people. I've got a sponsor. Here's what happened with that. I had a sponsor, and you know, I was really, really worried about sharing my fourth step with anybody. And I ended up having an argument with this guy, and he threw some of the stuff up that I shared to him. And that just proved to me that we're all capable of default. Now, you can share something with me, and I can tell you that I'm not going to tell anybody, but during an absent-minded second or whatever, I might blurt it out, or I might try to throw one back at you and try to stick you. But he stuck me, so I had to move on. And I got another sponsor, and it's sort of like an artificial relationship. I'm finding that out now. You know what? I'm letting them know what's going on the outside. So I'm like going into that pattern again, but I'm stopping it. You know what I mean? Because I just can't get honest with this guy and tell him, hey, I got to let you go and get somebody else. Like, because obviously he doesn't know how special I am. Like, I'm going to hurt his feelings if I tell him you're fired. But I have to do that because I feel stagnant. I'm not being honest with him. You know, we call and he's going, hey, what's up? Hey, nothing. Weather's nice. Yeah, wife's off. You know, what you do today for your recovery? You know, that guy, I just can't get honest. So I know I got to move on. So what I'm doing this time, instead of making mistakes and learning from them, I've made pretty much all the mistakes there are to make. And if I, the second step's tough. If I keep continuing to do what I, you know, if I make a mistake once, fuck me. I make a mistake twice. Fuck you. And then after that, if I keep doing it, it's like, I must be into that S&M shit because I ain't trying to do something 10 times and like it. That's not to say I try to hold on to old shit, but, so, I don't want to make all the same mistakes. And, you know what? Today, my house is, I end up with a little, I got a humble house up on West End. I like it, man. It's small. I don't have a lot of payments anymore. You know what? When they take all that shit and you go bankrupt, all that shit's gone. So are the bills. But I know how to run them back up. And I ain't doing that. I ain't got a fucking credit card. I don't want a credit card. I don't want a car payment. I don't want a house payment. I bought some little shack and I fixed it up and it's mine. And I don't have all that stress on how I'm going to worry about paying for it. I'm able to take a weekend off and come up to the retreat for my recovery. You know what I mean? I'm doing a job now. I was scared shitless the other night. I started pouring down rain. I went over to check it to make sure it was okay and everything was fine. But yesterday, last night when we had that rain, I hit my knees, Don, and this is God's truth. I hit my knees in the Harmony House and I said, you know what, God, I'm here. You're there. I don't want to be there. I'm here. I'm trying to focus, and I am. My relationship with my wife is a little rocky, and I'm working on it. We have more issues than Reader's Digest after 25 years. I mean, you know, I can just change me, and I can try to change her. No, I can't change her. And I'm going to end with this here. during this time, I ended up having a relationship with another woman when I was with my other wife, my other woman, and I had a baby, and she's 18 years old, you know, and I seen her up until she was 2 years old, and then I lost her because I was using it, and I don't know what happened. She was with her mother, and I didn't see her until I was 15. That was when my father died. I was 13, whatever. Excuse me. I had to do that. It's me. And so I just started getting this relationship with her. I just known her like for like the last 8 months. She went in and out of detoxes, rehabs, and I see her making mistakes that I made. I see her going through a lot of pain that I went through, and I hate that shit. You know, I give my right arm for my kids, and that's for real. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to become a father, make up what I didn't make up in 18 years, to make it up in like 8 months, and you know, it ain't working, you know, because I'm trying to fill the void that was missing there, and I get a phone call one day, and she says that, you know, she's a heroin addict. And I'm like, oh, man, fuck, you know. And I said to my sponsor, what do I have to offer this girl? And he said, Ron, you're clean today. What better gift can you give her? And I thought, wow. And for real, we've ended up building a relationship with our product synonymous. So I don't know how God had that in his plans, but that's how I met my daughter in the rooms of NA, and so we're going to meetings together, and man, shopping and dinners and meeting my friends and meeting hers, and I met her in NA, and now she's struggling, she relapsed, and the other night I took her to a meeting, and she picked up a 24-hour T-peg, and I felt her pain, you know, and I wish I could have done what I can't do for myself, for her. And I know that's not possible. And they say you have to let her go through her struggles. But that's like really fucked up. Powerlessness is really hard to deal with when it's your kid. I wanted her to come this weekend, and she couldn't because she's at home. She's dosing. And, you know, insurance companies, I like to fucking blow them all up. But I knew I had to come here for my recovery. And, So I've got experience with recovery and relapse. I'm dealing with my family now, and you know, I've got some other children that don't have our disease, and it's only by the grace of God, because I don't know if I could take all that. But I know one thing: if I stay clean today and show by power of example to my daughter, maybe my daughter will see something in me and in you that will keep her and get her back here. And if it weren't for the people that kept believing in me, as I believe in her, and I know that I can stay clean one day at a time, only one day at a time, and I keep trying to tell her that. Because she's got that 18-year-old shit going on, you know. And I know where I was when I was 18 years old. I had no thought about stopping using, you know. But she keeps telling me, you know, what is there to do? I'm like, you know what, my life is so full now. It's so full now, but I keep trying for this. I have to. You know, at night when I gotta go out and give bids, you know, and it's my home group, and I call these people up, and I don't know if I do it purposely or intentionally. I say I'll be there Monday at 8 o'clock. My home group's Monday at 8 o'clock. I gotta call them up. I don't tell them the truth, but I gotta call them up and change it. But I do shit like that. Because I don't want to go into the old patterns, you know. And if I can show her by the way that I live, and I told her this, you know, when I left yesterday, I said, Nikki, I'm going to go up to the retreat. And she said, I understand. I said, do you really? She said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm glad you do, because I can't keep her clean. I have a hard enough time keeping clean myself. So I'm here for me. I'm hopefully going to take a little back to her by showing her I made it through another weekend. You know, just for today, I don't need another relapse. That's all.
I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Dwayne, from the Together We Can. Together We Came to Believe in the York area of NA.
I'm an addict named Dwayne. First off, I'd like to thank my higher power for another day clean and for helping me to make it to another meeting. You know, something like this. You know, I'm going to take a moment like to let God, like, work through me, like, so that, like, I don't tell you no lies, so that it's him talking, not me. I'm grateful. You know, they tell me a grateful addict can never use. You know, and I believe that. There was a time I didn't believe that, though. I probably need to take time, like to be aware of my surroundings here, you know, and let everybody else, like, you know, reflect on, like, where we're at. You know, a bunch of dope fiends in the woods, fucking bees and birds and fucking trees, like, and clean. You know, like, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. You know, I don't want to minimize that either. You know, it's a new way of life for me, and it's a way of life I got to practice every day. Recovery and relapse, you know, I guess I have some experience in both. You know, and they told me recovery comes before relapse. They told me, like, you can't recover, or excuse me, you can't relapse unless you have recovery first. And the program of recovery is a process. It's the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and then there's the concepts. And, like, I didn't understand that at first. Like, I wanted to put the cart before the horse. I thought that, like, you had to relapse to recover. I thought you, like, had to use, you had to, like, come in here, see what it's about, go use, and then come back, you know, to recover. And that's probably why, like, I got experience in relapse. About 3 months ago, like, you know, I like to get honest about my age these days, because I like to shave my head, shave my face. You know, I'm 42 years old, and I ain't got no business playing basketball no more. You know, the young boys is too fast for me. My bones don't heal as quick. And, like, I got some evidence. Like my Achilles, after 42 years, I finally injured it. And like, it's in the process of recovery now. It's healing. You know, they say that recovery is like a healing process. You know, and like, when I first came to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, I probably was like one of the smartest guys you ever, like, wanted to meet. I went to treatment, and like, in about 15 days, like, I became a counselor. You know, I was teaching everybody the steps and the traditions. And I really didn't know, like, I was killing people. You know, I was a Mr. Know-it-all. I was a loud, wrong guy. Some people told me those things. You know, I couldn't fathom the ideal that I didn't know shit. I couldn't fathom it. They told me I had to learn my ABCs all over again. You know, A wasn't for apple, B wasn't for ball. You know, they told me, like, I had to get some acceptance and believe and change. They told me I needed direction over my emotions and fear. They told me, like, that good healing and ill. I needed good healing over my ill. They told me that, like, joy, kindness would give me life. You know, and that was 12 letters of the alphabet that I had to take with me with the 12 steps. You know, and that was told to me, and like, I had to listen to it over and over, because I had to see in the process of my recovery, because all our processes and stages of recovery are different. And I had to, like, see, because I'm an intellectual guy. The clock can be on the wall, working perfectly, and I look at it and think it needs fixing and take it down and tear it apart and break the shit. You know what I mean? It's already working, but I got to see how it works. I got to fix it. And I'm like that with people, too. You know, like, I think I can fix people. You know, and I guess, like, the program has taught me, like, I can't fix myself, so I need not, you know, endanger anybody else. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor, and like, I go to them for guidance. I go to them, like, to show me how to live. You know, like, I remember I came around the program, you know, after years of suffering. You know what? I didn't want to, like, present myself, like, who I truly was to anybody. You know, I lived a $3 bill life. I didn't need help. You know, I heard somebody else say, like what I felt. You know, like, everybody around me was telling me, like, we don't want no more. You know, you need some help. Like I come to them with what they need, you know, and they say, no, you need to get some help. You know, and it was really hard for me. It was really hard for me, like, to face myself. Once I did, like, arrive, you know, in the process, and it took a while. You know, I heard somebody talk about steps 1, 2, and 3. You know, I procrastinated the first time around on my first step for about 7 months because, like, I heard them say, like, that we were powerless, you know? So, like, I didn't want to be powerless over you or anybody else, you know, or my disease. I wanted to control my disease. And I had a reservation probably from the first meeting I walked into. I had a reservation, like, that I could sell drugs again. And through the process of recovery, you know, and I gained some things in recovery. You know, like, everybody in my area knew my name. You know what I mean? Like, I always, like, listen to tapes and take what other people said and take it to a meeting and sound profound. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to clap the ooh-ahs. And, And through that, like, you know, like, I started doing some things. And they say, like, the relapse happens long before you pick up the drug. And some of the things that I was doing was, like, sharing clean and living dirty. You know, and some of the things that I was doing was, like, dressing up the outside so that's all you could see. You know, you didn't know that I was just a dressed-up garbage can. You didn't know how messed up I was inside because I didn't take the time to share with you about me. I took the time to ask you so I could share with you about you. You know, I was a Mr. Fix-It. Until recently, and it's been a long process for me to find out, like, that I was a caretaker and I didn't like being a caretaker anymore because I could not take care of anybody but myself. You know, and I took some steps recently, like, to change that. You know, they say this is a program of change. Change you must or die you will. You know, I believe that. You know, but through my process of recovery, like, my first time around, like I said, I gained thousands of days clean. You know, I had the sponsees and sponsees with sponsees and, you know, like, my sponsor was well known in the area, and so was his, you know, and like, there was just multiple years of time, you know, and, like, I still had the behaviors. I think backwards, I like to think. I think back. When I was younger, I wanted the older women. Now that I'm older, I want the younger women. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be older than what I was when I was younger, and now that I'm older, I want to be younger than what I am. And like, it was a regression, like, type of behavior that I was going through. Because, like, I chased the girl. I would work at restaurants because I know I could meet young girls there. you know, and I put my recovery at risk. You know, I don't do that. You know what I mean? But I still know how to roll. I'll roll that for you. But I don't do that, but, like, go ahead. You can smoke. You know? Shit, like, I put my recovery at risk like that. Like just, it was crazy. It was insane. Like, and it was detrimental. You know, and like, I had some people who loved and cared about me, you know, when I first got around, because God places people in my life. It wasn't nothing I'd done, you know, for me that didn't come through him. You know, he moved the mountain because I bought the shovel. You know, and I remember, like, those people telling me time and time again, you know, you're not working on your recovery. You're working on a relapse. You know, that's what you're working on. Sooner or later, you ain't going to have no more no's. You ain't got too many. I think you done used them all up. And they were honest with me about this. You know, but I was a gamer. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought I knew it all. I just thought I had all the answers. And, like, after about, I don't know, two weeks shy of 4 years, I picked up that reservation I came up in here with. You know, I was sitting at my home group, Friday night meeting, candlelight, and I get a phone call, and my income tax preparer, he tells me, the Eagle has landed. You know, so my check was in. And I had lied about this check. I claimed my kids, they lived all the way up here in Johnstown. I was in York. You know, but I claimed them on earned income tax, on earned income credit. And, like, he had a check for me for about $3,000-$4,000. And, like, I shared it to me. I shared right there, you know, like, no matter what I say, like, I got to watch what I say. I'm talking about, like, in my recovery and in my experience, I got to watch what I announce in a meeting. I got to watch what I say, what I don't put action behind. Because I had every intention to take that money, buy what it could buy, bring it up here for a weekend, get rid of it, and then go back like nothing happened. I just went to visit my kids for a weekend. See, and God had a different plan for me. You know, everything fell right in place. I shared right there at my home group. I said, look, I know I done had this reservation for almost 4 years now that I can sell drugs. I want to go buy a couple onions. I want to take them home and flip them and come back, you know? And like, some people, you know, stepped to me after the meeting and they said some things to me, you know, I don't know if they thought I was all right or if, like, I don't know. God just wanted it to happen like that, you know. But I followed through with the plan anyway, you know. And I done what I needed to do, and I seen who I needed to see, you know, because I can be riding by. I don't have to know any town USA. I can ride by, and I know who's using and who's not. I can ride by. I ain't gotta ride by and say, damn, what they doing over there? You know what I mean? Like, I ain't gotta stretch my neck that far. You know, I know. You know, game, they know game. You know, and I can see that. You know, I'm still a clever addict. You know, but I don't know shit. You know, I'm probably the smartest guy who does the stupidest shit. Because I do stupid stuff all the time. But anyway, you know, I've done what I've done. You know, and God had a plan for me. Because, like, I didn't even make it out of my area with that. I didn't even come up this way. I sat right there for about a month. You know, playing Santa Claus and, you know, seeing the same tricks that I had seen, like, 10 years before. I'm talking about when I first started and didn't know nothing about it and stuff was falling on the floor. Like, man, did I see that? I know they didn't just knock that on the floor and bend over in front of me and pick that up, put it in their pocket, like, and act like nothing happened. And here I'm giving it to you, and you knocking it on the floor, oh, picking it up like I ain't see that. What if I could keep sending that, like, the same trick, the same, like, and it showed me right there, it showed me right there, but I ain't see the evidence. I still needed, like, some more evidence, you know, so, I stayed out there, you know, and I was going to meetings. I need to tell you that. See, I took breaks in between getting high. You know, and, like, the people who knew me in my area knew exactly what, the ones who knew me knew exactly what I was doing. Yeah, I pulled the wool over some people's eyes. You know what I mean? I'd do some in the morning, go to the noon meeting, you know, go at home, do a little bit in the afternoon, let it come down for the evening meeting. You know, and I was trying to, like, still present myself like I was there, you know, and some good friends of mine, like, who knew, but, like, wanted me to tell just how much they loved me. They didn't run up to me and accuse me of it. They knew it, and they wanted me to get honest. See, I didn't come here with the ability to be honest. And a lot of days, like, I will still lie to your ass. And think you know, I will. And I didn't have the ability to be honest, and they knew I didn't have the ability to be honest, but they were giving me the chance to get honest. You know what I mean? That is one of the most important principles, like, that I've found in my recovery. Like, first I got to be true to me, and then maybe, just maybe, I can continue to be true to you. You know, and what they done, they let me go ahead with my little charade like I was celebrating my clean time, because it was 2 weeks before I was celebrating 4 years. And as the time rolled around, like, none of the experienced members that I connected with, I'm talking about from day one, they pulled me under the wing. Yeah, you with us, you the loud wrong guy. You know, they pegged me and pulled me in, you know what I mean, and showed me love. They still show me love. They still, you know, are an intricate part of my recovery. And my clean date rolled around, you know, my supposedly clean date, it rolled around, and, like, none of them gave me, like, the balloons and the little presents that they did, you know, the other 3 years. Like, I didn't reach out. I'm like, yo, don't y'all know this is my anniversary. Why'd I get that? You know what I mean? What else is up? You know, they ain't give me shit, right? So, you know, and the fiasco, it went on, like, and this started, like, February the 1st, and it went on until, like, February the 28th. I was getting high until February the 28th. My clean date became February 29th, 2000. So, one of the couples in my support group, you know, they came up to me and they gave me this little refrigerator magnet, and it said, by any means necessary. That's all they gave me. They always gave me flowers and candles and, you know, meditation books and stuff. They really, like, they flourished me with gifts. All the years before that, they gave me that one sticker. You know what I mean? And when I finally got honest, they told me why. You know what I mean? But the ironic part about it, you know, the funniest part about it, you know, and I still believe God has a sense of humor. I still do. What he done for me, like, he kept me out there that whole month of February. Now, in the year 2000, there was 29 days in February. That happens to be leap year. So you have to wait 4 years to get 1 year clean. I celebrated 4 years clean dirty. I didn't have 4 years. My clean date was February the 29th, 2000, and that don't come around till 2004. You know what I'm saying? So now I gotta wait 4 years now before I'm going to get one. Before I'm going to, you know, and that's a reminder for me. That's a reminder. Look, the people... You know, and finally I had to get honest, because I was killing myself. You know what I mean? Hiding and sneaking and peeking. I started doing some things like that I didn't do before. You know what I mean? I mean, you guys who were carpet cleaners and stuff, and those blind peekers. You know what I mean? Like, I became one of them people. That wasn't a part of my story. It wasn't yet. It became a part of my story. You know, and like, once I got honest, you know, and they said, well, you got to go away, man. You got, you know, like, you've been doing this too long. You can't just come back in here. And so I did, you know, my insurance, they you know, because insurance, I don't know, it ain't like it used to be. They gave me something like a 3-day relapse prevention thing. You know, and like, I was there one day, and I was ready to go. I was ready to go, you know. But they talked me into staying the other 2 days, and I went back to my area. And the worst thing, like, that hurt me with that, it really hurt me, like, to my heart. Because what I was doing, like I was in a relationship that whole time with one person, but, like, I was living separate from them. And my sponsees used to come over my house, and they'd see other women up in my house or going out of my house, you know, and like, they really, you know, they question me sometimes, like, what are you doing, man? What's going on with you? You know, and I was using the whole time. I was using, you know, I was using people. I was using feelings. You know, I was masking, like, really, like, growing. You know what I mean? I wasn't following the path. I wasn't following the path that was set before me, because I found in recovery, like, the more time clean, the narrower the road gets, you know, and sooner or later there's a crossroads in recovery, you know, and it's your choice. It's your choice, you know, and it was my choice, like, to pick that up again, because, you know, like, when I first went back out there, like, I knew all the tricks they were doing, and I sat and watched them for 2 days. For 2 days, I ain't touched none. You know, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to sit here, and y'all going to bring me my money. But, you know, like, I watched that a couple of days. I said, y'all don't know what to do. Let me show you how to do this. You know, and look, I had a moment of clarity, too. Let's talk about a moment of clarity. I had a moment of clarity when I had it up, when I was putting it to it. And I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, you know. And like, I got a revelation out of that too, man. I've gotten high against my will. You know what I mean? I've gotten high against my will, and that was one time. It was against my will. I had sponsees who had multiple years, who had worked steps. You know what I mean? Like, they believed in me. You know, like, their life at times was in my hands, man. You know, and I was playing with their lives. And the most humbling thing was, like, coming back from treatment and, like, getting a white key tag, and my sponsees had multiple year ones. You know what I mean? Like, they could sponsor me now. They actually could have sponsored me then. And at first it was a suggestion from my sponsor, like, to let one of them, you know, but thank God for a grand sponsor. Thank God for a grand sponsor, because he said, no, you need to continue to work with Dwayne. You know, the work's just beginning, you know, and it's been like, it's been a journey for me. It's been a journey. I got to know every day that I don't know. Like, I need to, like, get information every day. I need to sit here, like, and fill it, and then fill it some more. And that was, like, through the grace of God, like, putting some sponsees in my life, because they put my ass to work. There wasn't no more procrastinating once I had 1, 2, 3 sponsees saying, look, I want a step. And it was my duty, like, when they asked me for a step, to give them a step. You know what I mean? And it was my duty, like to guide them through that step and move them on to the next step. You know? And once they got up to where I was in the step process, they needed to go on to someone else who had experience in that step. Because I had the same situation happen with me. You know, I had caught up with the first sponsor I had. I caught up in the step process to him, so he had no experience in that step. The fourth step was vital for me. You know, and he hadn't done his fourth step. He had been writing on it. He hadn't finished it and I couldn't stay stuck there. You know, so I had to move on. And the same situation happened with one of my sponsees. He had to move on. You know, like God had put me as a stepping stone to so far. He had placed me in his life for a reason, and it was time to take me out. You know, God takes people out of my life as well as he puts them in. Every friend I had friends like who came to treatment like at the same time I did. You know what I mean? And we were the jolly crew. You know what I mean? We were the ones who knew it all because we sat in the back and we talked about all them guys with years. Like we went outside for power smokes when the whiners, you know, them BMWs, them bitches and moaners and whiners, when they started sharing like about their cat or their relationship, especially relationship. No, we don't need to hear that. You know what I mean? Like we went to power smokes. It was time to go take a smoke and then come back in when they get done. You know, and like we grew apart as recovery continued. You know, like sooner or later, like I needed that experience from that person who was saying that. Sooner or later, like I was the one coming in doing the bitching and moaning and whining. You know what I mean? Sooner or later, like it wasn't rewards all the time for me. You know, I came in and I expected you, and it wasn't a pill I was looking for. I just wanted the information that you had to tell me how, like, I could just stop using, period. I didn't want no long, drawn-out step process. I didn't want to hear, like, you need to go look up this word and find out the real definition, not that one that you just made up, you know? Because they'd ask me the definition of words, and I, yeah, you know, I thought I could break them down. And tell them my definition, but like there was a definition in Webster also, you know, that told me the real meaning of what it was. And when they sent me to do work like that, you know, I didn't want to do the work. I wanted the time, but I didn't want to do what it took to keep the time. You know, and my sponsor told me, like, after coming back, I remember saying, like, well, you know, I still got my experience even though I lost my clean time. I know how to stay clean. And he stopped me like in the middle of sharing. Ho, you don't know how to stay clean. You know, he had to tell me that. I didn't know how to stay clean. I would have still been clean. If I knew how to stay clean, I still have the clean time that I would have had. You know, and it was a humble, you know, it was humility that brought me to being humble. I'm the type of guy, and I need to tell you this, because you might want to do it to me. You got to hurt my damn feelings for me to listen to you. I don't listen to all that soft shit. You know, all that, oh, it'll be all right, you know, that candy coated, like, you know, I can't get with that, you know. I need it raw. I need it raw. I ain't never done nothing that had cut on it. You know, I might have gave it to you. You know what I mean? But I ain't never done nothing that, and that's how I like mine, raw. You know, there's a guy in this area now because, like, before I relocated to my area, I lived up here about 12 years. And when I came back, see, when I left here to go to treatment and I came back from treatment, like, I thought that, like, I needed to bring N.A. to this area. Because I found that egg, you know, everywhere else. You know what I mean? But it hadn't taken off here. They were still going through the other fellowship. There was one NA meeting here. I think it was like in the St. Mark's down in Johnstown. And like that was like the only meeting in this area. Like, and it was like at 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, like people were doing both fellowships. And I said, well, you know, now that I got something to say, I got to come up there and, you know, lay this thing down on, get them what they need. You know what I mean? I was like going to be the philosopher, the teacher, you know. Like I was coming back to this area and really like blow it up. You know, and like God kept me away just long enough for me to know that like that wasn't my job. You know, because I came back and there's a guy in this area, he's on the committee, he's been on the committee. Like since I've been coming here for the last 4 years. You know, like we were in our addiction together, we done time together. You know what I mean? And like I ain't never think this guy would ever like me. You know, because of some of the things I did to him and his loved ones. You know, and like soon as he saw me, I saw a smile go across his face and his arms came. I'm talking about I done some major harm to this man. I'm talking about major harm. You know, the details ain't even necessary. But like, He had open arms for me with a smile, man, and I ain't never, ever, ever experienced nothing like that. You know, you trying to put a cap in me or go upside my head with a bat? Yeah, once I've done some harm to you, but for you to smile and open your arms to me, you know what I mean? And like just give me like total forgiveness. It was amazing, man. And he was a part of this area. He was about right on the same track of time I had. Like and we bonded it in a new way. Like it was another like life for us in one lifetime. You know that how they talk about living two lives in one lifetime? You know, and man, it was beautiful. It was beautiful like to see who we are and what we're doing now. As compared to like me in this area, like when I lived here, like I was the stop sign. I was the guy who stood there all day and night on that same damn corner, stopping everything that went by, everything, and including, you know, and I was real smart. Like the cops were so stupid, like they only caught me three times. Three times they sent a fucking undercover to me. Three times they got me. You know, like, I was so smart. You know? Unreal, you know? And like, geographical change don't work for everybody, but it worked for me. It worked for me. You know, like, this is a lovely place to visit. But I can't live here anymore. You know why I can't live here anymore? The same people who I was out there doing things with, when they see me now, they don't know that. They don't know what I'm doing. They don't see what I'm doing every day. And they still call me by my street name. My name is Dwayne, not Frank. All right? And all they know me as is Frank. And all they know is what you got when they see me. I know you bought us some goodies. They don't know that, like, I'm in recovery. They don't know that I don't live like that no more. You know, and you can get some labels the same way in here as you got out there. You know, because I was the beat boy. You know, you can ask them. Hey, they got some aquarium rocks and stuff for me, too. You know, and that's not to glorify like I was some tough guy out there. You know, I was probably the stupidest guy out there who'd give you something and stand there and wait for you to come back and argue with you. Give you something that wasn't even right, you know, like I was invincible, you know, but I love to come back to this area. It still like amazes me, like that a person like me, like could come out of the horrors of addiction, you know what I mean, stop using a day at a time and like find a new way to live. It still impresses me it still impresses me. It does. It impresses it. And I'm enthusiastic about my recovery again. There was a time, like, I wasn't grateful, and I lost, like, my spirit, you know? But, like, through some work, you know, through some guidance, like, with my sponsor and, you know, like, support group. Support group was important for me. It was important for me, like, to have some people who would get up in my face and tell me about me, not be intimidated, you know, about my jail time or what I could bench or, you know, how good I was with my hands. Who would get up in my face and tell me about me? You know what I mean? Like, and mean it. You know, that's been a blessing for me. You know, and I know God put those people there. God put them right there, right where they were supposed to be. You know, I don't know. I know, like, recovery is a process, you know, and relapse, it's not a requirement for this program. Recovery is the process. Relapse is not a requirement. You know, a day at a time, like, I can put together some time. You know, they told me when I came around, like, just do the day. You know, and tomorrow will take care of itself. Leave yesterday behind. All you got is today. I had to really, like, keep hearing that. You know how you keep hearing stuff. You keep hearing. It's a repetitious program. Shit is repeated all the time. I ain't got nothing original, you know, that I can say to you here. Either I got it from a tape, you know, a person, or the book. You know, ain't none of it mine. Ain't none of this stuff mine. None of it. You know, but I know it's working. I know it's not working only in my life, but it works in the life of countless others. Talk about thousands of others, you know? And it works every day. You just got to do the work. You know what I mean? And before, in closing, like, one thing I had a real problem with was, like, asking for help, you know? They told me a closed mouth couldn't get fed. They told me, like, I needed to humble myself to ask for the help I need, that they couldn't read my mind. I had to let them know, you know, what I needed. You know, and if they were capable of giving that to me, they would. If they weren't, maybe they could find somebody who did, because ain't nobody unique in this program. Our experience is just that, our experiences. And if I ain't went through it, maybe I can direct you to the next person who's been through it. That's what I learned about sitting in a meeting and even hearing the shit that I didn't want to hear. You know, it wasn't all about, like, the rewards. I had to hear some of them struggles, because when I heard those struggles, the newcomer who was going through something that I hadn't experienced, I knew who to guide them, you know, who to send them to, you know, for their help. Because I'm not here to help everybody, you know? I'm not here to help everybody. And I got to remember that, you know? I'm no Superman in this, you know? It's a good day to be clean, you know? I'm glad to be here once again, you know? Thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. We have the radio just for day at the podium.